A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what's unusual about that? Do not pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Today's gospel is perhaps the most challenging in all of Jesus' teaching. There's lots to find challenging in his Sermon on the Mount. But most of Jesus' maxims appear remarkably simple and manageable when compared to the admonition to love your enemies. What does love of enemies even look like? Well-known spiritual writer Henry Nouwen once said, "Forgiveness is the name of love among those who have loved poorly." I suspect he's onto something here. If we want to know what loving our enemies looks like, it probably is going to have a lot to do with forgiveness. But even that can be tricky. For what exactly is forgiveness? There are many myths that float about concerning forgiveness, even from the pulpit, that forgiveness is about forgetting, that it's somehow something that one can choose to give or not to another, that it's dependent upon the other apologizing first, etc., etc. Such suggestions, while well-intentioned, often do much harm. What if one can't forget? Or shouldn't, lest they find themselves open to the same kind of hurt again? What if one doesn't find within themselves the capacity to make such a choice? What if the other person doesn't apologize? Are we bound to our anger and our hurt for forever? The Christian tradition offers a rich and nuanced understanding of what love of enemies, aka forgiveness, looks like. After all, we've had 2,000 years now of thinking this through and learning from trying to put the teaching into practice, and a few things that we've learned. First, forgiveness is not forgetting. Sometimes we forget, but lots of times we don't, and many times it would be unwise to do so. Forgiveness is remembering, but in another way. It's remembering in such a way that the memory doesn't keep hurting us over and over again each time we remember it. It frees the relationship from being held captive by what happened in the past. As the comedian Lily Tomlin says, forgiveness is letting go of every hope for a better past. Now, note, she doesn't say letting go of every hope for a better present or a better future, but letting go of every hope for a better past. The past is what it is. We remember it, but we don't need to stay there. Second, forgiveness is not a human power. It's a power that in its origins belongs only to God, a power that God exercises as creator to always be able to make of creation something new. Rather than being locked into cycles of ill will and impasse, God exerts this divine capacity to liberate a situation that feels stuck. It's one of God's greatest powers. And when we're really hurt, we don't have to expect ourselves to be able to forgive. Sometimes we'll find ourselves able, but lots of times we won't. And what we can always do is ask God for the gift to be able to forgive and to be open to the impulse when it arrives, rather than hanging on to our grievances. Usually we find that it's a gift with which God is not particularly stingy. When we ask, God's power swoops into the space we've cleared. The biggest problem is that often we don't even ask for this kind of love. And finally, forgiveness doesn't require the other apologizing. If we were always waiting for the other to make the first move, we might live our lives eternally bound to anger and hurt. No, God is so powerful, it is possible for us to feel free of past angers and hurt, even if the other disengages. Forgiveness is primarily a gift for the one who's experienced harm, a way of setting them free from the paralysis that comes from ongoing anger. And any benefits to the offender are secondary. Perhaps our best clues to what forgiveness can look like are found in the second half of this gospel pericope, where Jesus says, "Be perfect like God is perfect. Let your light shine on good and bad alike." This maxim, too, is often misunderstood to mean that we can't make any mistakes in life, that we have to be right all the time. It would be better to understand Jesus' words in light of the ancient Jewish concept of perfection, which was synonymous with being complete or whole. In this sense, be perfect means be whole. Trust that you have all that you need, that you don't need to be fearful or grasping. Like Solomon, you're decked out with all the glory of the lilies. In the context of forgiveness, you don't even need the other to make the first move. You can wish the best for the other without losing anything yourself. You can be kind to the other without diminishing your own dignity. Your freedom, your wholeness, your ability to love is not contingent on them apologizing or seeing the error of their ways. Now, just to be clear, real reconciliation and renewal of the relationship generally does require an apology and an effort to make things right. In essence, real reconciliation requires also repentance. And when forgiveness and repentance meet, it's a marvelous, even a miraculous thing. The kingdom of God breaks out. But even without the other repenting, we can still participate in God's power to forgive. Jesus' teaching that we love our enemies does not require we be friends with those who hurt us. It doesn't even mean we pursue an ongoing relationship with them. Love of enemies or forgiveness simply means willing the best for them, whatever that might be. Lots of times, we don't even know what that would be. But whatever the best would be, we wish it for them. And although it is not the same as reconciliation, forgiveness is a start. It's a move in that direction. It's a move in favor of God's kingdom.